A promotional fee has been paid by the sponsor of this program for its editorial content. Statements, views, and beliefs expressed by the sponsor do not reflect those of WOKV or Cox Media Group.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now, in the house with Jared on News 1045 WOKV.
Good Saturday morning to you. Hello, my name is Jared Melick, host of In the House, here to answer your home improvement questions. Love for you to join me this morning, 340-1045. Again, 340-1045. My background, what I do is that I own a business. It's called Universal Roof and Contracting. And we, throughout the week, primarily help people with their roofing, siding, or window needs. But I'm a general contractor, and so I answer most home improvement questions. Would love for you to join me this morning. If you have something that you want answered, maybe you're thinking about doing a remodel or an addition and you want to know what pays off, or perhaps you're thinking about replacing your flooring and you want to know what's the difference between engineered wood and laminate, and should I do tile, and how moisture resistant are these, and any flooring questions would be all right. Maybe you've noticed some problems on the exterior of your home with your siding or your windows and you have a question about that. Really anything having to do with home improvement, I'm here to answer those questions. There's two ways that you can get a hold of us. You can, one, just pick up your phone and dial 340-1045, and we will answer that call, put you live on the air. You can ask me a question, and I will answer it to the best of my ability. Second way is that if you want to email me a question, you can do that to questions@inthehouseshow.com. Again, questions@inthehouseshow.com. I will read the question live on the air and then answer it to the best of my ability. So if you want to chat this morning, I'd love to chat with you, 340-1045. If you're a little bit shy, don't like the sound of your voice on the radio, or you just don't want to talk this morning, you've talked enough this week and you don't want to talk, but you still want your question answered, you can do that by emailing questions@inthehouseshow.com. All right, throughout today's show, we have some topics that we're going to get to. I'm going to chat about some projects that we are working on. We also have some email questions that came in this week that I'll end up answering. But the best part of this show, let's face it, it is not me. It is you, our great WOKV listener. And we'd love to chat with you live this morning and answer any home improvement questions that you have. What's been going on in my world is that we are, still dealing with a lot of storm recovery stuff. There's still a lot of people who have storm damage, and on the roofing side of my business, we've been focusing a lot on that. You know, I'm finding more and more people where, the insurance, they receive some wind damage through Irma or even sometimes Matthew, or they had a hailstorm come through their area, and they had their insurance company come out and take a look at it. Insurance comes out and says there's no damage, or the insurance says, oh, it's just a minor repair, it's just a couple missing shingles, and we get out there and take a look at it, and many times they're right. Many times it is just a couple missing shingles, and sometimes that is repairable, meaning that we can separate one shingle from another and actually repair it, and it's a minor repair. But there's other times where what looks minor is actually more major, and we've been dealing with a bunch of them where the insurance company says, hey, this is just a minor repair. We go out there and there's far more damage than what it is that you could visibly see from the ground. And not only are there a couple missing shingles, but there's a bunch of other damaged shingles around the house that need to be fixed as well. And the only solution would be to replace the roof. There's also a rule here, a repairability rule that talks about, people call it the 25% rule, about whether or not you can repair or replace more than 25% of a roof without bringing it up to the existing code. And And so there's been a bunch of times where we have been involved where the insurance company originally said no, or originally said, oh, it's just a minor repair and it's less than your deductible. And we've been able to, you know, prove that it's more than that and that the roof needs to be replaced. And so I can tell you about hundreds of stories where the insurance company said it was minor and where we got involved. And sure enough, it was entire replacement that needed to be done. Now, there's a bunch of other cases. There's hundreds of cases, too, where the insurance company's right. So I don't know how to know that without looking at it, but I can tell you that we are experts in doing it. And so if you want to call my office, Universal Roof and Contracting, 495-0948. Again, 495-0948. Of course, area code 904, website universalroof.com. And I do have people at the office now that can take your call and set up a time for one of my estimators to come out and take a look at it. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to James. James, you are in the house. How can I help you?
Yes, sir. I'm calling from Ocean Way. I live in Eagles Hammock in one of the cookie cutter houses from the 2005 era.
Yep.
I'm having problems with the stucco really starting to crack, and I just don't think the quality was put into it. I would like to know, I mean, do you think it'd be worthwhile just kind of patching in the cracks, or I'm really thinking about switching over to Hardy Board?
Sure. So let's, you know, let's talk about stucco. So we have seen a tremendous amount of stucco issues and stucco defect cases. And we're going to look at stucco in two different ways. One is that when it's over a block home, and then the other when it's over a wood frame construction. I love stucco over wood, over a block. It's a great option. Usually we find there's no issues with it. But when stucco is over wood frame, the method and the process is completely different. And so when stucco is over wood frame, it is not waterproof by itself. What happens is there's plywood or sheathing, there's a secondary water barrier, then there is paper, then there is lath, and then there's expansion joints and flashings and all kinds of things. And so one of the major mistakes that I see happen is that the flashing pieces are not done correctly, or it doesn't have a secondary water barrier, or there's what's called a drainage plane, meaning that when the water gets behind the stucco, there's got to be an area for that water to be able to come out. And so around windows or around edges or around expansion joints, if there's not a weep screed there, not an area for the water to be able to weep out, then that water actually gets stuck behind there, and it causes cracking issues. And then also, if the mixture isn't right, like they're mixing the sand and cementous material on site, and they use too much water, not enough water, then there can be issues with the blend of the stucco. And so we are just seeing throughout the state a bunch of stucco issues and a bunch of stucco cracking issues. In fact, my business, we have a commercial division where I work throughout the state. And last year, we signed $12 million in contracts throughout the state of Florida in removing bad stucco and replacing it. So it's a huge problem throughout the state. Now, whether yours is bad, I don't know. I haven't seen it, but it is a major issue. So so I personally, most of those projects where there is stucco issues, we are removing the stucco and going back with Hardy. Stucco over block is awesome. Stucco over wood frame is very, very difficult to be right. And so there's just so many things that can go wrong. And so because of that, I personally am a bigger fan of Hardy board, siding on wood frame homes as opposed to stucco.
All right, I appreciate you.
Yep. Now, here's a couple things about you know, about if you're going to do that. One, I have seen people say, you know what, I'm just going to go over the top of the stucco with the Hardy. That doesn't work. So you would have to remove the existing stucco all the way down to the sheathing, and then do, you know, remove, you know, because there's lath and all kinds of stuff back there, and so it's a major project. I mean, it's, you know, it's not a minor thing. And so you definitely don't want to go over the top of the existing stucco. The stucco needs to come all the way off. And if you send me some photos, you know, to the questions at inthehouseshow.com, then I can tell you whether I think it's a major issue or a minor issue. If it's minor, if you just have some hairline cracks and the rest of the stucco is fine, I'm not saying that you demolish your home just because you have a couple minor cracks. These cases that I was talking about where we're removing stucco and going with siding, these are major failure areas. And so, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. If it's just a couple minor cracks, that's going to happen. You know, minor cracks are going to happen with any cementous material. And so if it's minor, I wouldn't recommend going to the expense of tens of thousands of dollars to re-side your house. But if it's major, then I may.
All right. I appreciate it. What was the email address one more time?
Yep. It's questions@inthehouseshow.com. Now, how big are those cracks that you're noticing?
What I've noticed so far, it's mainly hairline cracks.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed a bigger crack in the actual pillar itself, but the pillar's not really leading into the inside of the house. But there's hairline cracks everywhere, and it was mentioned to me by a painter. He says if you get a good elastomer paint, exterior paint, and go over that, you should be fine with that.
Yeah, so what we look at, you know, understand that, you know, any sort of crack is, you know, is an opening, right? And that will allow water to come in. Now, theoretically, I assume this is over wood frame, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. I when you said where you lived, I was pretty confident that it was, but, you know, I went down a path that assumed that it was wood frame, but I never actually confirmed that. So when it is over wood frame, there is a secondary water barrier behind that, or at least there's supposed to be. In the mid-2000s, it was a code requirement for there to be a secondary water barrier. So we assume that there is. So theoretically, even in a small hairline crack, if the water does get through, theoretically, there's supposed to be a secondary water barrier, which would stop the water from coming inside the home, but you still want to seal that crack. And so there's an elastomeric paint. The idea with that is that it's more flexible and that it will fill in those openings. So some hairline, the elastomeric paint will fill those in. Sometimes you do have to use some caulking or sealants first and you know, patching compounds. But if you just, you know, if you take a photo of those cracks and then you go down to your local paint store, wherever you're going to buy your paint, and let them know what you're going over, then they would recommend the method with their specific paint as to what product they would recommend using to fill those cracks.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, James. Appreciate your call. All right. That music means we need to take a break. We've got Justice on the phone with a question. There's a line open for you, 340-1045. Again, 340-1045. You are listening to In the House on News 104.5 WOKV. Hey, hey, welcome back. In the House, your home improvement questions are answered right here, right now. My job is to answer them, but you got to ask me first. Number here, 340-1045. Again, 340-1045. I'm a licensed general contractor and roofing contractor. I have a couple other licenses as well, but I can answer most home improvement questions. If I know, I will answer it. If I don't know, I'll tell you that I don't know. But I've owned a home improvement and construction company for about 25 years now, doing all types of home improvement and construction. We primarily focus here on roofing, siding, and windows for my residential division. I do have a commercial division that works throughout the state where we do all types of stuff, but here in Jacksonville, I primarily focus on roofing, siding, and windows for our residential customers. All right, let's go straight to the phones and talk to Justice. Justice, you're in the house. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. How are you, sir?
Pretty fantastic. Thanks. How you doing, Justice?
I'm doing great. I'm actually located out of Jacksonville, so I get to hear your show there. Anyway, long story short, about 7 years ago in a little place called Live Oak, Florida, which is down the road, they built an apartment complex. And anyway, I talked my grandparents into moving there and sold the farm. Maybe, you know, they're getting older, yada, yada, yada. One thing leads to another. When they built the apartments, I've never heard of this, but there was a actual manager there, because we kept having problems like around the baseboard. I would see wood every time I would go over there, like little chippings of wood. The manager told me they never treated it for termites, and so every time I go home to my grandmother's, there's always wood around the baseboards, and now there's black ants also. I'm very worried and concerned about that, because she's on the bottom level. To just show you, I mean, I think they did it as a cheap way to hurry up and, you know, get it built. But at the same time, I'm worried that, you know, God forbid it falls in or something like that. Or, you know, what should I be concerned with, or what can I do?
Sure. Now, do they own the home? Is it a condo or?
It's an apartment complex.
It's an apartment. Okay. Yeah. So. So the odds. So do you know when the building was constructed?
Back 8 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have done termite prevention of some sort, termite treatment of some sort. I mean, I can't imagine that the building officials and the building department would have, you know, missed the fact about whether or not they did termite treatment. It's just part of the ground protection process, and so chances are it was treated for termites. Now, it would be very strange that a property built 8 years ago would not have termite protection or termite treatment of some sort. So, but that doesn't mean just because it originally had, you know, some sort of termite treatment during the construction process, that doesn't mean that it's not going to get termites. I mean, if it's wood in Florida, the odds of it getting termites are, you know, at some point in its life are pretty good. So what we look at most is we look at moisture. Termites like wood, and they like moisture. And when those two things come together, then it's always going to be worse. And so so the thing that I would be concerned about there is, in step number one, would be stopping the source of the moisture. And so obviously if they own the property, it's different than renting it. If they are highly concerned, like, or if you're highly concerned that you think that there's some sort of structural issue here that would cause a problem, there's nothing wrong with having an engineer or having a contractor go take a look at it and see what they think, just to see if it's minor. Chances are it is minor. But if there is moisture that's coming in, you know, you'll want to stop that moisture, because it's not only the termite issue, but it's also, you know, mold and, you know, mold issues as well. And so, you know, just to make sure that you feel comfortable, it might be a good idea to have a contractor or engineer go over to take a look at it. Chances are you could hire somebody for a few hundred bucks to do that, just to give you a little bit of, you know, safety to make sure that, you know, that your grandmother's going to be okay.
Yeah. And the other thing I would like to point out, now being it's an apartment, we don't own it or nothing like that, you know, or
right.
Condo paying on this is the rent. Would I try to find an actual general contractor, or would I go to a building? Reason being is they've took so many shortcuts. I'm gonna give you know, two examples real quick.
Well, hold on one second. We got to go to a hard break here. So hold on, Justice, and we'll continue this chat after the break. You're listening to In the House on News 104.5 WOKV.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now, In the House with Jared on News 104.5 WOKV.
Hey, welcome back. That's right, In the House. Your home improvement questions are answered right here, right now. Give us a call, 340-1045. Again, 340-1045. Or you can also email me a question. Do that, questions at inthehouseshow.com. Again, questions at inthehouseshow.com. Also, same place, it'll go questions at universalroof.com, goes to the same place, which is me. It'll go directly to me, and I'll answer that question live on the air. All right, before the break, we were talking to Justice. Justice has a grandmother who lives in an apartment. He's concerned about potential termites and the safety of his grandmother. And so we ran out of time in the last segment, Justice. So thanks for holding on through that news break. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir. Like I was saying earlier, you know, that was my concern, seeing the fresh wood chips and all that. You know, just to kind of give you a little bit of a quick reference of the shortcuts I've seen, they actually went in last year and they had some broken concrete. They overlaid about 3 inches of broken concrete on top of concrete. And so now you can actually feel it when you walk on it. It feels like mush. And then they went and put a gutter system in finally, but then they didn't put anything to the gutter system. So I personally dug a trench because all it was doing was sitting up next to the, you know, the apartment. And so that entails this goes right up underneath your, you know, your, whatever you want to call it. I'm sorry. I lost the word I was thinking of, but I actually, like I said, I dug the trench to try to keep it away from the, you know, the apartment itself. And it's just been kind of a shocker of how many, you know, cuts they took. So when I heard, you know, a long time ago, that's the reason why it didn't faze me about the taking that shortcut. But to see fresh wood chips, I'm pretty sure that would probably bother anybody.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I'm not saying to, you know, I wouldn't make too big of a deal out of it, but at the same time, I wouldn't gloss over it. And, you know, obviously, anytime you're concerned about the safety of your grandmother, you should pursue whatever you think needs to be pursued. When it comes to this, the safety of, you know, it structurally caving in on her, it would take a pretty extreme process for that to happen. I mean, like, for example, we're in the process of, in my commercial division, we're rebuilding condos in Orlando that were built incorrectly. They were really what it was is the structural portion of the staircases were not built structurally sound, and so the places have been condemned, and we have been hired to go in and you know, redo, you know, a lot of those structures. And so that was some of the worst construction that I have seen when it comes to, you know, multifamily properties. And even those, there were a bunch of signs. They never actually caved in on themselves, and there were a bunch of signs of it before it actually occurred. And so I just want you to sleep a little bit better. I don't want you to stay up at night thinking that this is going to cave in on her. There would be signs of it first, meaning that there would be cracking along the outer edge. There would be, you know, shifting. You would have noticeable huge cracks in the ceiling up above. And so I don't want you to stay up at night thinking that, you know, that the upsized upstairs neighbor of your grandmother is going to end up laying on your grandmother's bed at that night. So, but at the same time, go ahead.
You had mentioned hiring a contractor. Now, in a case like that, being like I asked you and we had to take a break, but being you don't own it, do I call the contractor or would I call out the actual building inspector?
Well, the building inspectors are going to inspect new stuff. I mean, the building officials are going to, you know, if you have a permit, they're going to inspect on the permit. So here you don't have a permit. So it wouldn't be appropriate. The building officials aren't going to be able to do anything because it was constructed 8 years ago. So you should hire an independent person, somebody, either a contractor or a consultant or an engineer that would come out and give their opinion as to whether or not there's a major problem here. And the reason why I would say you would hire them, if you just call, you know, the phone book and ask a contractor to come out, you can't hire them to do anything, right? Because it's not your property and it's not your grandmother's property. And so because of that, you would just have to pay some sort of consultant to get an opinion.
Okay. And then what would you do? Let's say they found something majorly wrong.
Then at that point, your option, because she doesn't own it, would be to move. So, you know, Yeah, I mean, it's not like you can do the work. I mean, you don't own the property, so you can't perform work on a property that you don't own. I mean, you can put the owners on notice and see if they would make any changes to it, but if not, then I would be you know, looking for a way to have my grandmother in a place that's safe.
Thank you very much for your definite input. That helped me a lot. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thanks, brother. Sorry you're going through that, and let us know if there's anything else we can do. All right, man. Thanks. All right, let's go to Peter in Mandarin. Peter, you're in the house. How can I help you?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call this morning. I've got a stucco home on stick as well in the Julington Creek area, and I've got this sort of foam arches that are painted over top of the stucco. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting a crack in those as well, and I'm wondering whether or not I could sand that foam material. I think it's royal foam. Whether or not I could sand that material down, or if I have to replace it altogether.
Sure. Now the crack that's forming, usually they have a seam. You know, the two pieces of foam come together, and then there's a seam that they end up, you know, stuccoing over that seam. Is it at the seam, or is it just in the stucco in the foam itself?
It's in the foam itself.
Okay. So, and how large is the crack?
It's like an archway thing. So it's probably, it's an up and down. So, vertical, it's probably like, 5 inches. And then the diameter of it's probably, you know, maybe 0.2 of an inch. But it's separated so that it's not level anymore. So the surface isn't level. Like the foam isn't a level where I could just put some stucco over top of it and smooth it over. So it's not allowing me to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the thing about the foam is one is that it is a, you know, it is an aesthetic piece, right? So theoretically, the way that it's supposed to work is that there should be a secondary water barrier behind that. There should be, additional stucco behind that. So theoretically, if water gets behind, the foam, it still shouldn't come inside the home, right? It's an aesthetic measure. So if that is accurate, if they did behind it right, then we're not concerned from a waterproofing perspective. We're just concerned from an aesthetic perspective. And so then my answer from an aesthetic perspective is whatever it takes to make it look whatever version of right, you're okay with it being. Like there's my wife, for an example, is an interior designer. I'm a contractor, right? And so my version of aesthetically okay is different than my wife's version of aesthetically okay, right? And so my wife thinks that it has to be perfection when it comes to the look, and I'm more of, as long as it's working fine and if it looks pretty good, I'm fine with it. So you just got to decide from an aesthetic perspective which one you're okay with. If you can patch it and it aesthetically look to your satisfaction, then that's fine. Otherwise, you should be able to get a replacement you know, it's foam. And so, you should be able to get a replacement one. A lot of times there's standard ones that are used. And then if there are custom, there are foam companies that you can, get custom pieces, made from. I may have a number of a company, close to you who may do that. If you email me, I can give you the name of a company that does that.
Right.
Go ahead.
The crack in the foam is right over the garage, the top of the garage, but the garage is framed itself in the foam, so it's mm-hmm. right in the center of the garage, sort of, right on the top portion of the foam.
Okay. Yeah, so if water then is coming behind that foam, I would want to stop that as well. And so, you know, whatever sealants or waterproofing that you would want to put across there, I would want to stop the water from coming in. So if you text me or send me a photo of it as well, you know, to questions@inthehouseshow.com, then I can tell you whether or not I'm more concerned about it. But most of the time in dealing with a foam, whenever you remove it or do any work with it, you're going to have to replace it. The odds of the foam being able to be detached and reset or modified without replacing it is not very likely. And me personally, I'm not a big fan of foam on the outside of the house. It's just not a durable material. So I personally, at my house, I wouldn't have foam on the outside. There are many times where I recommend people get rid of the foam and go either with a regular stucco band or go with a hardy band, something more durable than foam. So I just personally am not a big fan.
It looks like they stuccoed over the top of the foam.
Yes, that would be most of the time what they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your help.
Yep. No problem. Thanks, bud. Appreciate your call. All right. That music means we got to take a break. It's the last break of the day. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. It's going to be the final segment. Last chance to call with your home improvement questions. If you've been listening, you want to ask me a question, you got to call right now if you want to ask me. It's 340-1045. You're listening to In the House. Be right back. Hey, welcome back. Final segment this week's In the House show. Give us a call, 340-1045, with your home improvement questions. If you want an estimate to replace your roof, siding, or windows, call Universal Roofing Contracting, 495-0948. Also, if you're thinking about replacing your windows or doors, Renewal by Anderson, a great company, and they are window and door replacement, 222-8064. Again, 222-8064. All right, so go to the phones. Let's talk to Rick in Amelia Island. Rick, you're in the house. How can we help you?
How are you?
Good. How you doing, man?
I've got a question. Our home was built in 1960, and it is built up off the ground, of course, has floor joists, and the floor in the center of the home is starting to sag. And I had someone look at it, and the, I guess it's the main beams running across, the floor, one of them has cracked.
Okay.
So what's the best route to go to get that fixed?
Sure. So most of the time, if you have a single floor joist that is cracked for some reason, then usually what's going to happen is that you're going to go underneath, jack up that area so that way it's at the right level. And then you're going to sister a new support next to that one on both sides, and then anchor it usually twice the distance as to where the break is. So let's say that there's a break in the center of it. You're going to jack it up, put a new support right next to it on both sides, and then do anchor bolts all the way down to give it additional strength. And then also typically you usually take that to whatever the next cross support is, and then
right.
anchor it to the next cross support. So you're basically sharing that load on that one beam to the beams around it. So that's usually what you're going to do.
Okay. It's so I would just want to contact someone in the area that specializes in that, or would contact any general contractor who would be a good fit to.
It's a pretty minor thing. It's not a huge amount of skill that it takes. It's not like, it has to be somebody that specializes in subfloors. And so most general contractors would be able to handle that. Obviously, it's not a big project. So, if you have a general contractor who, builds custom homes, chances are he's not going to, come over and do it. So, you're looking at a mid-level contractor typically that would be doing it. But any general contractor, you can start asking friends and neighbors and see if they have somebody that could do it. It's not a, it's not a huge project. It's not like you're, remodeling your entire home. You're just, fixing a floor joist. So it's pretty common. So, any general contractor should be fine.
All right. Well, I appreciate your help.
All right. Yeah, no problem.
Thanks.
No problem at all. All right, let's talk to Mary. Mary, we've only got a couple minutes, but how can I help you?
Okay. I'll try to be quick. I own a townhome, and the roof, and I'm responsible for the roof, a simple fee, a townhome. And
yes.
I just found out that the underlayment was installed was not installed properly, and the roofs are leaking very bad.
Mm-hmm.
So do I have any recall on the contractor that put it in? I wasn't responsible for it. But
so, so how old is the roof?
The roof is, it was in 92, when it originally built in 92, but the contractor, not contractor, but the owners or whatever, did not give it out to us till like 95.
Okay. Now, is it an original roof from 1992?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, so, yeah, I mean, there's no way, I mean, it's 20 years ago. So, so you know, there would be no going back to the contractor at this point. I mean, it's 20 years old. I'm sorry, it's more than that, actually.
2002.
It's 26. Okay. So,
2002.
Okay. Well, even still, it's 16 years old. Is it a shingle roof or tile roof?
Tile roof.
Tile roof. Okay. So the underlayment requirements in 2002 are different than the underlayment requirements in 2018. With tile, understand that there's what's called a secondary water barrier, or there's an underlayment system underneath of it where it's a, the tile keeps out about 85 to 90% of the water, and then there's an underlayment system that keeps out the rest. So the underlayment system on a tile roof plays a much more critical role than it does with just a shingle roof. And so have you gotten quotes? Are they saying that it's just a minor repair, does it look like
complete,
it's going to be
a complete replacement, because they just laid the underlayment right over the little slat things.
Okay. And then do you know who, don't say the name, but do you know who installed the roof in 2002?
I do.
Have you contacted them?
No, I haven't. I didn't know what to do, so.
I mean, I would.
They're still in business.
Yeah. I mean, I would. I would contact them and see what they say. You know, I mean, the thing is that here's what I find with me is that if I do something wrong, I don't care how long it is. If I do something wrong, I'm going to take care of it, right? And so, so I would at least have a conversation with them, see if they do anything. If not, if you want a second opinion, call my office, Universal Roofing Contracting, 495-0948. With that music means we're at the end of the show. Thank you so much to everybody for listening. If you want an estimate on a new roof or roof repair, Universal Roofing Contracting, 495-0948, website universalroof.com. Thank you so much for listening today. We appreciate it. God bless. Take care. See ya.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.